Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Spooky Sapphic Storyteller. This is your host, Remy Stanford. Okay, so we have a lot happening today. This is our final episode of season one, and it's going to be a fun, chill episode. Bowie's on her way over, so I figured I'd just get some of the details out of the way first. Theo. He hasn't been here much since the last episode. I think he's here, but he's not really talking much. We've talked once since then, but only for a few minutes. He sounds, I don't know, it's hard to tell, but it's like he's tired. My keys keep showing up in random places, and I've actually had my lights blink on and off maybe like a dozen times over the past week, so I don't know if that's him trying to talk to me or just one of the other ghosts. But it's gonna be fine. When we talked, he kept telling me he doesn't feel bad. He's just sort of tired, like I said, so I don't know. And he said he'll, with whatever's gonna happen, it'll probably be soon, but he's gonna try and give me a heads up, I guess. Sorry. I know I said this was gonna be light and then started off with that. It's fine, though. It really is. It's just sort of hard to wrap my head around. So, I don't know. I guess I just want him to be at peace, and I hope it will all be okay. Anyway, things are good with Bowie, at least. I don't exactly know what we are right now, but, we're good. She got back from her trip last night, so it'll be really good to see her tonight. I also just wanted to say thank you before we get started. When I started this podcast, I was doing it out of the need to connect with others and to maybe help people by sharing my story, and I knew that was what I wanted, but I guess I didn't really expect it to go anywhere. But seeing everyone's responses and hearing from some of you about how much you relate to my story, it honestly blows my mind. It's hard to even really grasp sometimes that I'm actually sharing all of this and maybe helping people. Like, that's crazy. I'm proud of my story, but as the one who lived through it, it doesn't always feel particularly exciting. And sometimes it feels, well, kind of isolating. Like, some of my experiences are so random that I feel like I'm the only one who's felt that way. But you all have proved me wrong, and I just want to say thank you for that. I wish I could give you all a big hug. You've given me... Hello?
It's me.
Oh my god, Bowie. You have to stop doing that.
Well, I texted you, but I didn't hear back, so I just let myself in. You look like you're ready to jump out of your skin. I promise I didn't mean to freak you out.
Oh no, it's all good. You know, you look a little antsy too.
Of course I'm antsy. I've barely seen you since, well, the thing happened other than at work, and that doesn't count. And I just... I missed you.
We talked, like, every night.
Okay, yeah. But that was just about stuff I was doing with my family and what was happening with Theo. And it's just... maybe it's crazy to believe, but I've actually kind of been freaking out ever since we, you know, kissed and stuff that night.
Oh, like, in a bad way?
Oh my god, no. No, absolutely not. That was... I wanted that to happen for a long time. I'm not sure how to do this since we're already friends. Like, normally you have to ask someone out and then go through dating for a while before you're together. And then, it's just a longer process, and we've known each other and been friends for a couple years, and I know you already, and I know what I want. So I just don't really, I I don't know how to do this.
What do you want?
You know what I want, Remy.
I kind of want to hear you say it anyway. I mean, I was the one who kissed you first. I think you owe me.
Oh my god, come on. That's not how it works.
No, but I still want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay. So, Remy, would you want to be my girlfriend?
Yes.
Well, guess that wasn't so hard then. did I walk in on you recording?
Oh my god. Sorry, you scared me, and then I just sort of got excited you were here and forgot to turn it off.
Don't be, it's fine. Theo would have figured out a way to record it anyway.
I don't know if he would at this point.
Oh. I know it's been bad, but did it get worse since we last talked?
No, I don't know, it's just different.
Yeah, I know. But maybe he'll talk to us while I'm here. You know he's a big fan of me.
Yeah. Okay, well, since we got all that on recording, you want to tell everyone how your trip was before we get started?
Oh, it was fine. I spent some time with my family and saw Carter, which I know Remy was nervous about.
I was not! I mean, I was just a little nervous because things were sort of, I don't know, undefined with us.
I know. I'm teasing you. It was fine. We talked about things that happened, and I think it was good to see him in person. He's, you know, he's a cool guy, but I think that ending was coming for a while.
I mean, yeah, I'd say so if you wanted us to happen for a, quote, long time.
Shh, don't quote me. I'm already dying over the fact that I admitted that. We definitely don't need to repeat it.
Do you think I was any different?
No, you definitely weren't.
Hey!
I'm kidding. Well, not entirely, but...
Okay, I won't tease you about that if you won't tease me for now.
Yeah, emphasis on for now. So, anyway, my trip was good, my family was good. And things have completely concluded with my ex-boyfriend. Does that wrap things up nicely for you?
It sure does. Speaking of, do you want to tell them what we're doing for Christmas?
Oh, which part?
The you spending it here part.
Well, I mean, they probably figured that one out on their own.
Okay, yeah, probably. But we still have to make more specific plans, but Bowie will be here and we'll make tons of good food and watch some really goofy Christmas movies.
And I'm 100% taking you out to buy a Christmas tree.
It's a waste of money. You put it up for a few weeks and then just leave it on the curb.
Okay, so then we'll get a fake one.
Okay, fine. So yeah, that's what we'll be doing this week. We both have to work on Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas, but it'll be fun.
Two people in a new relationship spending the week in a cabin in the woods for Christmas. We're basically living out a gay Hallmark movie.
Ew, don't ruin it. Okay, so as our final topic, today we're going to be talking about going to your first Pride celebration. So, as you know, I went to my first Pride parade the week that I came out. Before I came out, I really didn't have many queer people in my life, unless you want to count my old editor, and that obviously wasn't great. The local Pride parade near where I grew up wasn't that big, not compared to big cities or even the parade they have in Orlando, but after spending so long feeling completely alone in my queerness, I felt like I was in an absolutely massive crowd of people like me. And that was incredibly overwhelming in the best way. I remember smiling so big the whole time my face started to hurt, and I definitely cried at least once.
Crying is a requirement for your first Pride.
And maybe everyone after that, because I definitely cried with you the next year.
I think you maybe cried more than me. Okay, so I realized I was bisexual before Remy knew she was gay, but my first pride was with her here in North Carolina.
Despite how it feels, we apparently do have a queer population of more than just me and Bowie at least once a year.
Yeah, everyone comes out of hiding for the day and gets together before disappearing until next year. But, yeah, I think how I felt was a lot like Remy. Even though I'd been out for a few years, who I was had never really been celebrated. Or, like, not on a large scale, I guess. I mean, it was something I really connected with Remy over, and I felt celebrated by her.
As you should, considering I think I screamed a little when you left the room the first time you mentioned having an ex-girlfriend.
Right, right. You were great. But, yeah, I don't know. My family's never really gotten it, and I haven't really had other friends who get it like Remy does, so being in that crowd of people, I don't know how to explain it. Oh, actually, you know what? It was like I'd felt like an alien all my life, right? And then suddenly standing there with all those other queer people, I felt like I was at home.
Yes, that's exactly what it feels like. I remember at both parades, I felt such a sense of, I guess, safety in who I was. Like, it was celebrated by everybody there, and there was nothing I had to hide.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you don't know the people there, it doesn't really matter. You just feel seen for who you actually are, and you're celebrated for that.
Exactly. It's also really, really cool seeing all the groups that come out for the parade. At both parades, I saw at least one city council member, groups for queer youth, and a few churches.
Oh, God. The people from the churches just made me cry.
Oh, yeah. Seeing them in my first parade was about the point that I lost it. I had been expecting some kind of protest from church groups, but instead there were groups from affirming churches marching with signs saying they loved everyone and just... I don't know. Nothing is going to undo how much I was hurt in church, but seeing those people out there being genuinely loving and accepting made me feel a little bit better.
Also, the parents who are there just to give hugs. Oh my God. I got so many good hugs that day.
Remember the lesbian couple?
The one who let me cry on them and thought we were girlfriends?
Yes, those. I still want them to be my adoptive gay moms.
Oh, totally same. They were some of my favorite people we met that day.
Yeah, they were incredibly cool. Shout out to Cindy and Laura on the off chance you're listening.
You know, we should find them on Facebook and get coffee sometime.
Oh my God, yes. How have we not done that yet?
We really should have gotten more people's contact information that day now that I think about it.
Yeah. Looking back, I wish we had, but I think we were both just kind of lost in the moment.
Oh, for sure. It felt like such an otherworldly experience. Like, there's something so weird, but... magical about going from living your life in spaces that are pretty much dominated by cis straight people to finding yourself in a place with hundreds of other queer people.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anything really prepares you for how strange and cool that's going to be. So I know some of our listeners aren't out yet or don't have pride celebrations near them. So do you have any advice you'd give them if they're struggling with wanting to go to a pride celebration but can't?
Oh, wow. Goodness gracious. Okay, there's a lot I could say about that. I mean, that was me until I moved up here. I think what helped me the most was trying to find community where I could. For a long time, that was through the internet. I know when I was maybe 16, probably 17, there were a lot of online groups that did virtual pride celebrations in June for people who couldn't go, and I thought that was really cool.
Oh, I didn't even think about virtual pride events.
Yeah, they were awesome. Obviously, it's not the same as being around in a huge group of people, but you still get to chat with people and be yourself. Those were really cool, but becoming friends with Remy was what really helped me start to love who I was.
Wait, seriously? I was just coming out when I met you.
Yes, stop giving me that look, because I'm being serious. I mean, because other than the girl I dated for a little bit in high school and then a gay guy I met freshman year of college, I never really had friends who were queer. And it wasn't that I didn't accept myself before I met Remy, but my sexuality definitely wasn't something I was really proud of. But then, you know, I met her and felt like, oh my God, maybe I'm not totally alone in this. And it was really, really helpful. Quit blushing. I'm allowed to say meeting you was a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's just that I felt so alone before we met, and you just always seemed so, I don't know, confident in who you were.
Well, you know what they say, fake it till you make it, Rem. I mean, yeah, I was confident, but I didn't feel like it was something anybody liked about me. At best, they tolerated it.
I didn't know that. I mean, I found out about your family pretty quickly, and obviously there weren't lots of queer people at school, but I guess it just seemed like none of that stuff got to you. Like, I really needed you, but I didn't know you needed me like that.
You are so oblivious, and it's adorable.
Shut up!
Not gonna happen, hon. I'm pretty sure you should already be used to this after being friends with me for 2 years, but you really better get used to it if we're gonna be girlfriends.
Okay. Yeah, I know. So, I don't know if I have any advice other than what Bowie said, except that finding representation can also really help. I like to read a lot of articles written by queer people and listen to their podcasts and things like that. Even if I wasn't talking directly with them, hearing people telling their stories helped me feel so, so much more normal.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. There are tons of really cool books and articles and podcasts covering basically every aspect of what it's like to be queer, and they're really fun to read or just listen to.
Yeah, and just know that even if you can't go to a Pride event right now, you will eventually. Obviously, it sucks in the moment, but I would just say it's good to hold on to that hope that you're going to be able to get to a place someday where you get to be authentically you.
And that goes for life in general, by the way. You'll get to go to Pride and be yourself, and you'll also get to a point someday where you're just all right with being yourself every day. Getting there can be really scary, I know, and can even take a long time, but once you are there, it's so worth it. Even with, you know, all the not so great reactions I got from people, I am so, so much happier now than I ever was before coming out.
And I second that. Coming out and then trying to live as yourself after living in the closet for a long time is really terrifying, and we never want to invalidate or discount those feelings, but we want to encourage you that you won't feel that way forever. Well, I think that's all I have. Bowie, do you want to try to talk to Theo? You know, since you're his favorite or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Theo, it's Bowie. Remy and I are dating, and I need you to come freak out with us.
Bowie.
What? It's a perfectly reasonable request. Can you hear me, Theo? Hello?
It's been like this basically every night. He's just silent. Sometimes the lights flicker when I try to talk to him, so I guess he's trying to communicate, but I don't know for sure if it's another ghost or...
Wait, why is your tape recorder stopped?
What?
Your tape recorder. I thought you left it running almost all the time.
Yeah, I do. Oh. Maybe it ran out of tape?
You think so? I mean, he's talked to you once in the past week, and I know you reused the blank tape. That's not me.
No, it's... I guess one of them must be doing that. Theo? Is that you?
Does that mean anything to you?
No, maybe...
Hi, Remy. Hi, Bowie. If you're there. Not to make this whole thing too dramatic, but I think it's coming soon. It being whatever's going to happen to me. Now, Remy, before you scream about why I didn't get your attention and tell you right before it happened, let me just say, you're asleep right now, and I'd rather not wake you up to the news. Plus, I guess I just think I'll say things better this way. I'll get one of the other ghosts to show it to you. First, it's important to make sure You know that despite my absence, both of you will still be teased mercilessly forever. You're both absolutely terrible at telling each other how you feel, and no matter what happens to me, I'm not letting you live that down. Although, I do have to admit, watching you both fumble around each other was sort of cute. I bet my eternal resting place or whatever on the fact that you guys will be dating by the time you hear this. I now leave that responsibility of teasing you to Jack. Obviously, he lacks my ghostly charm and skills at getting you to confess your feelings for each other. But I guess that won't be much of an issue anymore. If you don't pass the message on, I'll figure out how to make another ghost haunt you. Although, that's probably already happening. Once there are ghosts in a place, I doubt they're ever really stop being ghosts there. Okay, but all jokes aside, I'm happy you're in the cabin, Remy. Everybody before you was freaked out about the sounds and either moved out immediately or talked about trying to cleanse the house or exercise it or something, which is not the most comforting thought when you're stuck being dead there. I was a little worried when you said you and Bowie were paranormal investigators, but you've been really cool, even if you're an awkward dork. I know I drove you crazy, Remy, but admit it, you had fun, and I did too. More fun than I've had in, well, however long I've been here. I don't know if I'll have, like, consciousness wherever I'm headed, but if I do, I'll miss you. Wow, this is getting depressing. That's not the point here, and you better not be crying, okay? Get a hug from Bowie if she's there. This is all good. This is the way of life, you know? Or the way of death, I guess. And I feel fine. There's just a sort of tug, I guess. You could say. I thought the whole talking to yourself in front of a microphone thing was a little weird at first. But it turned out to be pretty awesome. The other ghosts and I have really appreciated it. It's not like we can really talk to other people like us, unless we're smart enough to figure out how to mess with computers, and even then, it's not the same. So, thanks for sharing your story, and all of our stories. Okay, well, I'm going to go now, I think. Thank you for everything, Remy and Bowie. I wish I'd met you both before, you know, I died and everything. But, all things considered, this was pretty swell. Have fun being an obnoxiously cute couple. Keep doing your thing, telling your story and other people's stories. Don't forget to pass the message on to Jack, and tell your pet Burball I'm still annoyed he never became friends with me.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so. I'll miss him, but...
It's like he said, it's the way things work.
Yeah. Do you think he's really...
Yeah, it sounded like it.
Yeah. Just, on the off chance he's still there, thank you, Theo, for helping me tell my story and for being an amazing roommate. Even if you did screw with my recording equipment all the time.
Hey, come here. It'll be okay. He's at peace now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he is.
Yeah, and that's good, even if it hurts. And you undoubtedly made his time here better.
I mean, yeah, I gave him plenty of entertainment.
Well, that, but it also sounds like you made him feel seen, and that's a pretty cool thing to do, even if you don't have a long time with someone.
Yeah, he made me feel seen, too.
I know he did. He was a good guy. Do you want to wrap things up?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you again to everyone who's tuned in this season. Like I said, I had no idea anyone would relate or care. And I had no idea I'd have a ghost roommate or guest ghosts on here or any of that. But I'm really glad it turned out the way it did. All of it. For any future updates, keep following us on social media. You can find us at TSSS_pod on Twitter or at Spooky Sapphic Storyteller on Instagram. And as always, you can email me if you want at SpookySapphicStorytellerPod@gmail.com. Hopefully we'll have some more content for you in the near future, but for now, I'm going to go make Bowie cuddle me on the couch in front of a movie.
As Theo would have wanted.
Yeah, exactly. He would go absolutely crazy seeing us do all the Christmas stuff this week.
Hey, we're fulfilling his wish of being an obnoxiously adorable couple. Come on, let's go get on the couch.
Sounds good. Until next year, bye everybody!